Welcome to From the Outside In. I'm your host, Debbie Penzone. This episode with Brett Kaufman was recorded virtually on Zoom. In today's episode, we'll begin to understand how the environment around you impacts your life. You'll learn about a local living community here in Columbus that is setting the standards for intentional, purpose-filled living. And you'll walk away with a few helpful tips to inspire you to live more purposely. Welcome. I would love to share, you know, have you talk a little bit about your story.
Sure. Yeah. The story is kind of, I don't know, could go a number of different directions. You know, my path to my work has really been kind of my life. I kind of see life and work really very connected. And that continues to unfold for me in ways that validate that belief. But you know, I've lived in Columbus most of my life. I moved here when my parents got divorced when I was 10 years old. I've talked openly about kind of a, you know, very tough 0 to 10, you know, a father who had addiction and, you know, lived in a very challenging childhood. But, you know, I moved to Columbus and kind of started a new life and kind of, you know, found my way over time, went away to school, came back. And really, you know, my journey has been trying to find myself and let that again kind of come through in my work. So, you know, kind of went into corporate America, worked in kind of multi-generational family business and and ultimately, you know, decided that I wanted to create my own company and my own life. And so that's really what we've been doing with Kaufman Development. It keeps kind of evolving as we keep bringing ourselves to it. And, you know, that's kind of where we've started to land with Gravity and our new project called Greenhouse and, you know, all the podcasting and speaking and fun stuff that, you know, I'm doing now. And I'm happy to elaborate kind of on all of that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just great to get that, you know, a little bit of behind the scenes story of, you know, seeing you growing up and in your life, things that, you know, you share here. You know, it's so vulnerable to be able to open up and talk about family life and growing up, which I think it's so great to be able to see us being able to open up that dialogue now and really be able to share. And it's what makes us who we are. And there's no good and there's no bad. It's just being able to talk about, you know, family and not judge it at the different situations.
Yeah, you know, it's been a challenge and I'm kind of, you know, been finding my way through it because, you know, there's a lot of sensitivity to everybody involved, you know, and my belief is that everybody, and even as a parent now, is, you know, we're always doing the best that we can, right? And we're bringing kind of sometimes generational trauma, baggage, you know, learning, programming, whatever you want to call it, forward, and you're showing up in the best way you can. And I believe that to be true about my father, certainly about my mother and stepfather who have really been, you know, tremendous in the way they've shown up. And, you know, and like I said, how I show up as a parent. And so when you kind of get to the other side of it all, you can really see it in the way that is just full of gratitude, which is not like a bullshit thing that, you know, you kind of tell yourself. You know, you actually get to see how it has shaped you as a human being, all of it, you know, the pain, the suffering, right? So that you can then choose to use it and create from that place. And so that's really why I don't mind talking about it, despite the sensitivities, because, you know, I don't want, you know, my family members to feel like something was wrong or they did bad, right? Because that's just not how I feel.
Right.
And I always, you know, I've had to learn to be careful about, you know, how that sounds. But I talk about it because it's been helpful for me, you know, candidly, therapeutic to you know, kind of cathartic to share, right? But then I also know that we're all the same in some way, shape, or form, right? And that we're on a human experience, a journey that's shared. And I believe, you know, we're all connected. And so what I've learned is that there's just power in telling these stories, in that it's really helpful for other people. And it's really connecting for all of us, and for me too. And so that's really why I've been talking so much about it, and why I started my podcast, is, and why you do this, right? So that people can share their stories and learn from each other.
And just bringing that out like that, you know, and really being able to share openly and feel that gratitude from all of the moments that shaped you to who you are and what you've done from it. And especially now, I can't imagine as a parent, you know, now you're in the hot seat. now, I mean, kind of like, you know, now you realize how hard all those moments are. I grew up in a big family. And, you know, it's crazy how I might see a situation that happened in the past, and then my brother says, that's not how it happened. You know, this or that. And everybody perceives, you know, things differently, or everybody takes away what they gather from different moments and different things that happen in their life. And like you said, it's really powerful to be able to live it and then be able to take from that and have those life lessons that you learn from to create your future or your next.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the gig, you know, that it's a never-ending process. You know, I'm fumbling my way through it still. You know, I've learned a lot, and I'm trying to apply that learning, and I keep learning, and I keep trying to apply. And, you know, this is just the gig. You know, I don't think it ever ends. There's some level of, you know, as you get older and mature, you start to feel more settled, more grounded, more confident, right? But, you know, things continue to show up as areas to work, right? And so, you know, it's just kind of life, and that's it, you know, and it can be really fun.
I really love digging in and finding some of those secret stories too that you never knew about your family or, you know, friends, or even my husband sometimes will be talking about something and he'll share something. I'm like, what? I never knew that. Like, and I learned, and just that little story that he shares makes me see something different in him, or just like, wow, that just so totally opens, you know, some of those questions up now. Like, you know, so I think that continuing to learn and hear all that we can from each other is so valuable too. Because that little key sometimes just keeps unlocking different places within us.
Yeah, it's the thing that I've found to be the most surprising and satisfying for me in doing my podcast is almost inevitably, and I can almost feel now when it's about to happen, but at some point, it's usually after we've stopped recording, the guest will say to me, wow, I really hadn't thought about that in forever, or I've never shared that story publicly, or, you know, something along those lines, where they either just hadn't remembered this part of their childhood, or that part of their upbringing, or they'd never talked about it. And to me, that's like the gold, because it's just like, not only is somebody else getting to hear this really important part of their life, but they're getting to relive it and experience it and maybe reframe it now that they're in a different point in their journey. And I love that, because you're right. There's just so much kind of in all of us that, you know, you don't remember, or you're not kind of focused on or thinking about, but it can really show a different side of you. It can give others a way to see you differently. It can give you a way to think about maybe your life today. You know, there's a lot to be learned there.
That reframing, I love that term. It really can be so powerful to look back at the situation or experience. And, you know, how do you reframe it now to be able to grow from it and not look at it and continue to have that self-suffering of something that might have happened, but to, you know, flip that script on it and reframe it to how it happened, or trying to learn from the why of it.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've learned that if you don't really take the opportunity to do that, to really kind of look back and to and kind of maybe look at it from a observer perspective to kind of have some new level of awareness around how it's impacting you today. You know, I think generally what happens is people unconsciously take all those little experiences that they're not going back and thinking about and revisiting, and they're just letting them inform how they're being now, unconsciously, usually, right? And so there's a lot of power, and this is really, you know, kind of work that I've done in therapy, and, you know, kind of being able to go back or in a situation kind of see how that child is still online and actually running your life, right? And so there's a lot to kind of be learned to be more, you know, in observer and have awareness and then be able to shift into a new version, an adult self, whatever it is that you want to show up as, you know, without kind of being able to get that awareness, you're often unconsciously living into some former self.
Yeah. And definitely it creates situations every day and moments for you that you don't even realize, why am I anxious? Why am I angry? Why is this, you know, emotion coming out? And it oftentimes relates to that.
Yes.
Those feelings.
It does. Yeah. My therapist says that it's like it gets its hook in you, right? And the goal is to be so strong in your core and so clean and clear that things don't hook into you in the same way.
Because you're aware of that story coming back up and you can say, nope.
Yeah. You just be like, yeah, that's, you know, yeah. that's not gonna grab me. I'm not there anymore.
Not going, you know, back and living in the past and letting go of that.
Right.
That living in the present and the now, I know that you truly do believe in and live your life that way. And all of those little moments that you can help yourself and those practices that you continue to do every day really can help, you know, really ground you in that, I'm sure. I know you've experienced and you talked about meditation and mindfulness and, you know, that whole way of living as well for your mental awareness and spirituality. And what are some different experiences like that that you've had that you really feel have stuck with you and continue to be something daily that you practice?
Sure. Yeah. Good question. You know, I think that there's a lot of dialogue about meditation and routines and various modalities and their benefits, and people kind of, you know, sometimes take them on and some of them stick and some of them don't. Or I often hear people say, you know, I tried to meditate and it didn't work for me. Yeah. I'm not good at it. Right. They say this about yoga too, yeah. Right? I'm not good at it. I've said it before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that what I have learned is, you know, meditation for me is a over 20-year practice. And I am getting way more today out of my meditation than I ever have in my life. And a lot of it is just about kind of where I'm at. It was always working. I believe this. What you always get, whatever you need. Sometimes that's thoughts. Sometimes that's sleep. Sometimes that's transcendence. But it's always working. And it's an accumulative thing. So for me, meditation is like the top of all of my practices. I'm pretty regular twice a day, and I practice transcendental meditation. And that's just been the thing that I learned, you know, a long time ago and has stuck for me and continues to, in like a very subtle way, just give me real peace and clarity to be. And I love it. And I'm kind of at the point with it now with a lot of my routines. And I think this is the key, is that it's like water. It's like hydration. It's fuel, right? Like,
yeah.
I need it. I want it more than I want the other thing, yeah. Whatever that was, sleep,
yes.
Or busyness or work or social media, whatever it is. Like, I want that way more. And so I choose it.
Yeah.
And I've got, you know, I'm pretty disciplined, and maybe it's even, you know, too much for some people, but I have a morning routine where I go through prayer and meditation and breath work and mm-hmm. journaling and some morning readings that I do religiously every day. I have evening routines that are exercise and sauna and gratitude journal and meditation.
Yes.
And, you know, and then there's, you know, stuff I do in between, a lot of therapy. I still am a big, big advocate for talk therapy. You know, I've come kind of in and out of, you know, various physical exercise and other kind of modalities that I still kind of, you know, dabble in. But, you know, the stuff that I do routinely is the stuff that, you know, I find at least right now has been the most beneficial for me.
And it's great when you start to hear of those different routines and, you know, kind of like rituals that you do in the morning and at night. I'd love for you to inspire the listeners, because I know, just like you, so often I hear from others, how do you find the time?
Yeah.
How do you find the time? I don't have time. I'm too busy. And it's almost like that armor that they want to, that badge of honor they want to put on, that they're so busy, they don't have time for self-care or to do some of those, you know, routines that we, you know, when you do it, like you said, it's like water. You can't go without it. You just have to make the time. Would there be any tips that you could share with the listeners on how have you fit that into your world?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. And I am aware that this is sometimes like a racket that people have, that they don't have time, that they're too busy. And that sometimes that's not really as true as they think it is. And then there are times in some situations where there really isn't that much time, right? And so like when my kids were little, I didn't meditate twice a day. You know, I didn't do that. It was too hard. Like my wife needed help. You know, I was busy building my business, you know. And so I think there's kind of two ways to answer the question. You know, one is really, if you want it bad enough, you've got to really look at how you actually are spending your time and do an inventory. I've gone through exercises before where I actually made a list of everything I spend time doing and then decided what it is that I could actually get rid of or what it was that maybe I could delegate. And you'll be shocked at how much time you actually have. If you were to just look at your screen time on your phone and how much time you have scrolling through stuff, you could probably find 10 minutes to meditate, right? How much time you spend, you know, mindlessly watching TV. You know, it was funny actually on the Golden Globes last night how they were just drawing the distinction between a movie and a television show, right? Yes, we don't have time for movies, but we have 5 hours to binge watch a television show, right?
Yes.
So it's in there. So that's kind of one answer. And then the other way to look at it, you know, if you're in one of those times where you've got little kids or you're building a business or you've got some stuff on your plate that is just, you know, most important, then I believe just give yourself some grace. Just take a little baby step somewhere, if you can, which might simply be like close your eyes in the morning and just whatever, like I call it prayer, but it's like gratitude. It's manifestation. It's just thinking about what in life you're happy about, what in life you'd like to do, what you'd like to have. And give yourself 2 minutes to do that. Give yourself 2 minutes, 5 minutes if you can, 10 minutes, you know, download a Wim Hof app or a breath work and just take 5 minutes to breathe. We definitely have time to do that, right? That with Talkspace and all the meditation apps, find a 10-minute meditation. You know, if that's too much for you, take a walk. Go outside and take a 10-minute walk where you don't look at your phone, you don't talk to anybody, you don't listen to a podcast. You just have 10 minutes of walking quiet. I think you can take a baby step somewhere and just give yourself a little bit of love and a little bit of forgiveness that this is just where you are right now. And that can be very additive and can lead you to see, you know, maybe I have another 10 minutes in there, you know?
Yes. Right. I love that with the baby step, because 5 minutes, 1 minute, And then once you experience it, like you said, you just want more of it because you feel that calm or you feel that space that opens up inside of you or that connectivity with yourself when you're out walking. Mm-hmm. You know, even we've started doing the 1 minute before our meetings as we get together as a team. Mm-hmm. And just 1 minute, it's amazing how long 1 minute is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like at first it was, some of the team was like, this is kind of awkward because 1 minute seemed like so long.
Yeah.
But yet we don't really value that time until you can sit down and actually experience it and go, wow, in 1 minute, I really do feel refreshed.
Yeah.
My mind is just kind of calmed down and now I'm ready to focus again.
Yeah.
So the baby steps and giving yourself grace. I love that because we are so hard on ourselves, you know, and I always keep catching myself too. Like, okay, Debbie, today is a day that maybe you didn't get as much time as you would have liked for all of your self-care routine, but you got this and this. And then the gratitude. Mm-hmm. When you walk in that gratitude, you really see all the little things that mean so much and that can really fill you up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tricky thing and it's very nuanced. It's kind of funny, you know, you can show up in your kind of spiritual practice or your self-care practice and bring the busy, intense, whatever else you are to that practice, right? Where you're like, I've got to do this. And if I don't do that, and you know, all of a sudden there you are over here and you're not actually really helping yourself, right? I'm not doing it right, or I missed, or I'm you know, something's wrong, right? And so you got to really be careful to kind of make sure that when you're taking care of yourself, that's actually what you're really doing. Because that's the point of this. It's not to have a streak or check a box or tell people you meditate, right? It's like, it's supposed to be helping you, right? And so, you know, you got to kind of like go slow, be patient, be gentle in that work. And then, you know, when you do that, you can see how you can bring that into your other work and into your life. But that's the point really, right? Is to kind of bring these things off the mat and into life.
Yes. Yep. I had to really be there a lot, just, you know, getting out of that routine so much. Just like today, I'm just going to sleep in. This is how I feel. You know, just that connection of how do you feel right now today in this moment and be able to know what you need.
Yeah.
So everything you just said, it's such a great reminder. Because, you know, even rituals or experiences that you do or routines that you do, like you said, can get regimented and you can bring that regiment and that type A personality into that where, you know, really walking in is having that awareness of today, I don't need to get up at 4:30. I'm going to sleep in a little bit because I probably need the rest.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, progress, not perfection.
Yeah.
And I really subscribe to, you know, 80%. You know, if there's times where, you know, my son broke his arm and he needs me to wake up and help him get his shirt on before school, like, you know, great. You know, I'm not going to get my sleep today. You know, my routine's going to be a little off. And yet, you know, at the same time, it does require some structure. You know, you do have to kind of put some boundaries in place. You know, I don't take a meeting before 10 o'clock because, you know, if I start doing that, then the other things aren't going to happen. And it's just, that's a hard rule for me. And, you know, that one might be 90%. Sometimes, you know, you gotta adapt there too. But some structure and progress, not perfection, I think has really been the balance for me.
Can you share a little bit about your breath work? What do you do with that, with your routine? That seems to be an added layer, an element that is very important to you as well with the meditation.
Yeah, it's relatively new. I've kind of flirted with different stuff over the years. I did holotropic breath work for a while. But what I've really been doing on a daily basis is the Wim Hof method. You know, I like his app. It's really simple, takes, you know, 10, 12 minutes. And I find it to be really helpful. It makes me, you know, feel good. I feel like I'm taking time to really breathe, to move energy. I like to do it before I meditate. I don't always do it before I meditate, mm-hmm. but I like to do it before I meditate because I find it to be kind of a good way to kind of calm the system. And then there's, you know, kind of some other stuff that, you know, he does that, you know, sometimes you do maybe before you exercise or if you're anxious, you know, there's some kind of shorter breathing exercises. But I like to do, you know, the 3 or 4 rounds every morning. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll do it at night too, but that's really been the one that's kind of stuck for me. That, and then I also do the cold shower and ice bath mm-hmm. if I can. And that's been kind of torturous for me, but it's yes. I've learned a lot through it. It's really kind of embracing the pain of that that helps you kind of in general, you know, embrace challenge and and it's good, I believe, you know, mentally and physically.
A shock. I can't imagine.
Yeah, the plunge is almost better than the shower because mm-hmm. the plunge is like, you take the plunge, you know, you're in and your whole body is evenly freezing,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
The shower, it's kind of peppering you and you can get out easier and it's almost harder.
I know you love Pelotonia. So my first Pelotonia bike ride, my husband was so excited. He said, you are doing an ice bath, 100 miles, Debbie, you got to do this ice bath plunge afterwards.
Yeah.
And he had, you know, heard about it, researched it, all this stuff. Oh my gosh. But what a difference that made in my muscles and everything else, you know,
it's great.
And feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. My good friend of mine, David, turned me on to Wim Hof. You know, I'd heard about it for years, but he started practicing it and really was loving it. And he has an ice bath that, you know, I'll hop in periodically.
Yeah.
He is a tennis facility.
Yeah.
So, it does. You feel good. It helps your body. And, you know, I'm kind of feeling like I could probably get one right now.
I know. Yes. I think we're all kind of thinking, oh, I think I need a self-care day tomorrow.
But sauna is the other one. We have an infrared sauna. That is a daily part of my practice. I get a ton just of a kind of release in the body. And it's been really helpful for my cardiac work. And, you know, the infrared sauna is another one that I think really highly of.
Yeah, I just got one put in last year. We did a little retreat, you know, home office. Mm-hmm. And friends of ours in Florida had one. And when we were down visiting, I got to use it. And it was like, wow, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And especially in Ohio, how good it feels. I can pretend I'm on a beach in the ocean somewhere nearby.
Yep. Sweating out all those toxins. It's, mm-hmm. it's good. Feels good.
Yes. So let's get to gravity. You know, this amazing community that you have created. And I feel so fortunate you brought it, you know, here to Columbus to really share this whole purpose-driven, intentional way of living and building community. Can you share with our listeners, you know, the intention behind gravity and the mantra and the why you felt so committed to this way of being and living in community?
Yeah, and this is, you know, kind of what I was talking about at the beginning, this, you know, idea of bringing yourself into your work. When I started Kauffman Development, it was always really with the same belief that is inside of gravity. It was always about how do we make the experience of where you live initially, it's now where you live and work, how do we make that experience a better experience for your life? How do we help bring access to the things that you think are separate from your current life? You know, oh, someday I'll do that, or I don't have time for that. It's inconvenient. And, you know, I'll do that on vacation or weekends or later in life. We wanted to be, that's how I was living.
Yeah.
That's what I saw in the first 15 years of my career was that those things were separate from you worked and then later, you did those things that you loved, that you were passionate about, that gave you energy. And I didn't want to do that anymore. I wanted to build a company where we could love what we did, who we did it with, and we could bring the things that we were passionate about to other people at their fingertips. And so that's always been how we've been building communities from the very beginning. Gravity is really our kind of greatest jump into that and adding all of the things. Mm-hmm. So it's the art, it's the music, it's the learning, it's the content, the lectures, the stuff that I was experiencing in California, yeah, New York, and other parts of the country that I believed there was a big audience for here in Columbus. Just because we live in Columbus doesn't mean that we're not interested or knowledgeable or passionate about the same things that exist in bigger cities or cities that are a little more maybe progressive ahead of Columbus. And so that's the thing is, I'm here. This is where I live. This is the community that I love. Why should I have to go somewhere else really far away and spend a lot of money just to find good food and good learning and good people and all these things that I'm learning and growing from? Let's bring that here to Columbus. Let's try to consolidate that in a community and see what happens for those people and for the neighborhood and the community of the city and, you know, the world at large.
Gosh, and I think back to, was it just 2 years ago that you launched Gravity?
Yeah.
Fully opened up and everything.
Yeah. Yep. It's not quite 2 years.
Not
It'll
quite
be
2 years.
Yeah, 2 years in April. Yeah.
Well, I'll never forget the first time I heard about it, read about it, and experienced it. It was almost like when I found yoga in that community of, they call it your tribe or people, you know, when I started, you know, out, like you said, California or on vacations or trips where, you know, different resorts would have everything I loved, you know, and it was like, I found my people, or going out even to Merivale, places like that. And it is, it's just so enlightening for someone to be like, I found my community, everything I love in one place.
and
learning and growing and continuing to be around people that all of those elements that you bring together, it matters to them.
Yeah. And the fun part is that, you know, now that we're, and thank you for saying that. Yeah. I really appreciate it. It means a lot because I know that you appreciate this space. So that's like really music to my ears to hear that. And what's fun about it now is that now we kind of see that we were right, that there is a demand, that people actually really want this and appreciate it. And there's so much more we can offer.
Yeah.
So there's a second phase now that is officially under construction.
Okay.
It was delayed with COVID, but
yes,
we have a huge second phase across the street. So we can do a lot more of this, a lot more public spaces, indoor, outdoor events, art, immersive technology. There's like a ton of stuff that's happening now to kind of really try to make this whole neighborhood feel this way. And then we're launching, like I said, a new product where all of the things we just talked about, you know, all those modalities are going to be in this new product as an exclusively focused health, wellness, transformation community. So we're building what's called Greenhouse, which is going to give you the feeling as if you're in one of those resorts. It's like you're going to Bali or Tulum. It's green, it's really sustainable, and it's filled with amenities that are biohacking and transformative. And so that's kind of our latest expression, which will be an add-on both in the Short North, where we're building our first greenhouse, and then also in Gravity in a future phase.
Wow. So many projects coming up. You have to be so excited, especially after our pause that we've had this year, to get started on them and to bring them to life.
Yeah, we are. I'm excited. This pause, you know, for me, we've been really blessed, you know, in a number of ways, but it's been very rejuvenating. It's given me a lot of time to kind of calm the system, to catch up, to be with family, to take care of myself, to work on some things. And yeah, now we're really excited to be launching these new projects and expanding this work. And, you know, we're kind of better positioned than ever to really, you know, expand what we're doing.
What do you see now that we're kind of at that point where we're looking to the spring and summer and next fall? Because I've experienced a couple events at Gravity. We had, you know, with Lit Life Plus Yoga, my yoga studio, we did a really cool rooftop at Gravity.
I remember.
Experience with the headsets. It was just so great at nighttime, the full moon. And then we've also been, you know, out there in your green space as well to do, you know, in the yard and in the grass and everything, events that you have. What are you seeing coming online for the future? Are you starting to look at that now or?
Yeah, we are. I mean, we've really tried to be very COVID safe and yet still try to provide the experiences we can. So we've done a lot of virtual events. Like everybody, we pivoted pretty fast and it's been fun. You know, it's been one benefit of the pandemic is that everybody's been in their home. Yeah. And so you know, a lot of our residents, you know, were there every day and they wanted to be actively engaged in doing something because they weren't getting that elsewhere. So we were doing, you know, exercise out on your balconies. And,
oh, I think I saw some pictures on Instagram.
The,
yes.
A symphony to play a concert for people outside. And, you know, so we pivoted like everybody else. Yeah. We went virtual and we'll continue to do some of that, but we'll also follow the guidelines. So we will be back to events at whatever size we're allowed, as fast as we're allowed to do that.
Yeah.
And we do have really great kind of indoor-outdoor space to begin with. We have nano walls and all the community rooms, so it all opens up. As you've seen, there's rooftops in every building. There's outdoor space. We've got the big movie screen. So we will be very, very active this spring and summer, and we'll keep going with what we're allowed to be doing. And we'd love to have you guys back whenever you want.
Yes.
Come back. Those were really memorable events. And you know, whenever you're ready, let's do it again.
Well, last summer it was really great because we had actually gotten outdoor aerial rigs and not even, you know, knowing of everything, of course, that was going to happen. So it was such a great thing that we had, you know, these 12 aerial rigs that are like hammocks that you could put outside. And we ended up, you know, doing it right next to our Polaris location. But it was a great way to be able to experience aerial yoga outside. Social distance, you know, and it was a wonderful outdoor experience. So I know we're definitely looking for spring, summer. We're going to be traveling around with those, hopefully all over the city and being able to pop them up and have some great classes. But yeah, we had such a wonderful time there and your community is just amazing. You know, everybody was just, you know, cool to connect with and we're there 100%, you know, living it.
Yeah.
So it was great. And I love seeing the art. I know we touched a little bit on that, you know, just seeing some of these masterpieces everywhere I looked on the, you know, the wallscapes and within your community and then even just driving up on the outside. And it's all local artists that you kind of really empowered to do whatever they felt to bring to your community to kind of express.
Yeah. Yeah. It's about 70% local artists. We did have Eduardo Cobra come in and do the big mural outside. Yeah, you know, art for me has always been something that I've been really passionate about, even as a kid. And, you know, probably didn't have the kind of support system and courage and confidence to actually go further into the art world as an artist. As an adult, I have started to do that. And I've been painting over the last few years and I love it. It's a real journey by itself. I just paint for myself, but the experience of kind of, you know, seeing yourself, you know, in the things that hold you back and what you're trying to create, there's so much to be learned through doing it. But I'm not very good at it. So I love supporting, you know, real professional artists and local artists. In particular, there's so many amazing people in this community, not just talented artists, but they're great, great people. And some of them have become friends. I've really gotten to know them. I've invested in them. We've done various things together. And you know, that is just a really fulfilling experience. And to watch him work, you know, when Mandy Caskey was doing the big mural inside, which is the largest indoor female mural in the state, I believe, I would just go every day and just watch. You know, I would tell my assistant when Cobra was here, like block out my calendar. I literally like got a lawn chair and sat across the street and watched him paint. It's just so fascinating to me. So again, this is just one of these things that's like, it's just fun for me. This is just like passion in the work, and I get to enjoy it and be a part of it. And other people are getting to do what they do, and hopefully they're enjoying it. And like together, it's just this really fun, you know, rewarding experience to do what you love.
Bringing one more of those creative elements into your life and into your world. I loved hearing that you started expressing yourself through painting and just exploring it. We kind of did that during the shutdown as well, my husband and I. And yesterday we were up there just going away, and I did a poor painting. I'm like, oh yeah, I like this. And all of a sudden I started just going down this path, and I'm like, oh no, what did I do? And you can't even say that, you know, you messed it up or you did something wrong, because it's like, okay, I just had so much fun just exploring that whole way of layering poor painting on poor painting and how it turned out and where it went. And it was kind of crazy looking, like, oh my God, what did I just create? But
yeah,
but just exploring and expressing yourself, it's really a release, isn't it?
Oh, it's great. It's great. I found that I was really taking all of my creative energy and putting it into my work. Mm. And that was becoming less rewarding for me. I would start to kind of feel like it was work when I really had felt like I was, you know, creating. And so I needed another outlet. And that's what painting's been for me. And what you just described is very funny, because I've been there and I've ruined many paintings.
Yeah.
And there is something to really learn and same kind of off the mat into life thing about like when to stop. You know,
yes.
That it doesn't have to be something more. Sometimes more isn't more, right? Like enoughness, right, is like a real thing for me. And so when I get to a point with a painting, I have to fight to stop and just go, it's good right now.
Yes,
as it is.
Let it go.
Enough,
let it go.
You know,
yes.
Right? And you know, that's, you know, another one of those things you can just kind of look at and say like, well, where else am I doing that in my life? But that's a fun one.
What kind of medium do you like to paint in? Have you explored different types? And
yeah, well, what happened for me is I studied, in high school, I took art classes.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, in a curriculum kind of environment, you know, you're given very specific kinds of things you're supposed to do. And oftentimes, you know, if you're a very kind of naturally skilled fine artist, you're going to excel more in that world. Mm-hmm. I am not a naturally gifted fine artist. So I've actually been kind of exploring more of like a splatter paint kind of, mm-hmm. you know, Jackson Pollock.
Oh,
kind of
I love
just
that. Yes.
Throw it, right?
Yes,
and I
yes.
did it because like energetically,
yeah,
it felt good,
so good
to do that, right? And then, you know, over time, I've started to kind of learn how to work with the paint and, you know, start to create. And I'll mix in some collage stuff and, you know, just kind of find ways to kind of work within my own unique way of being creative. And that's, you know, the thing I've had to learn is that I believe we all have that. I actually believe we are all artists, which I know is something that like people adamantly just will say they are not.
Yes.
But it's just our layered stuff that keeps us from freely being in creation. Whether you're doing that with any kind of medium, you know, or you're just creating your day, your thoughts, your life, you know, I believe we are all born as creatives, right? In creation. And so what I've had to learn in my painting is just to let go and honor how I am uniquely creating and not in comparison to something that like society has said is good, you
right.
know, because every great artist has landed on something unique to them. And then society said, that's amazing.
Yeah. Right? Where at first, like Picasso, they didn't say that.
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, that was a great insight to share that. Because I truly, when we started, you know, just playing around and having fun, that's the first thing everybody says. I'm not creative. I wish I could do art. I'm not artistic. I can't do that, you know.
Right.
And I wish we would stop saying we can't. or putting right. ourselves in those different boxes. Like you said,
that's
you know,
right.
break free of that label that you have on yourself and yeah. let it flow. Cause it feels so good just to get, you know, like you said, just to throw some paint and just to create and without yeah. judgment, just to do what you feel. And it really yeah. does let so much emotion out.
Yeah, it does. And that's, I think the thing is, you know, letting go of the attachment to the outcome and not being so focused on it's got to look good, that it needs to hang on a gallery wall or somebody needs to pay for it. Like I've learned to just let go of all of that. I did just make a painting for my wife for her, her birthday. She's a big birthday coming up. And I'm super anxious to see if she likes it because I've never painted for anybody before.
But that so, is such a, I mean, such a special gift, your first painting to be able to give her as a gift for her birthday.
Yeah, she's been asking me for a very long time. So I finally caved and we'll see how it goes. But yeah, I just paint for myself, you know, and you know, I think that's kind of like, there's a quote that has been attributed to several different people, but it's the master in the art of living. And you know, the kind of the end of the quote, and I'll get this, you know, a little bit wrong, is basically like, leave others to decide, you know, are you working or are you playing? And let others decide. And so that's kind of how I feel about kind of art and life, is like, I'm gonna just be working and playing as one thing. And I'll let other people decide whether or not, you know, they like it. You know, that's not the point. I just actually was interviewed. Somebody said, you know, what is your legacy? You know, what do you want your legacy to be? And I thought it was a funny question. I get that's like a thing people think about and ask, but it struck me because I've never thought about it that way. I'm not interested in trying to be remembered or thought of as like a thing. I'm just trying to show up every day in being somebody who makes a difference in the world and in other people's lives. And I'll let other people decide someday later what that means.
Yes, that takes all the pressure off of doing something just because of what other people think or what it's going to make a difference in their life and their world.
It can be very freeing. Yeah, it can be very freeing. And, you know, ultimately, I think what happens is you just start to kind of end up, you actually can end up getting everything that you thought you were aiming for that way as well. You know, I've found to get more validation and more impact and more of these things that maybe I was chasing before by just being and not actually trying to do that.
Right. Yep. Genuinely, you're just being you and living your life the way that you feel is making a difference in your world on all those people that you love around you.
Most of the time, that's what I'm trying to do, you know, and I fail, I do, but you know, I wake up every day and that is my aim, is just trying to show up as somebody that is up to making a difference. And, you know, I keep trying to do that every day.
Well, you certainly have done it today with inspiring our listeners with just your way of living in gratitude. And being, I think so many lessons that you shared with us today are life-changing. And I hope we can wrap a few of those up for our listeners and share them again with them so that they can take them into their everyday life and world. I'm just so proud to have you here, spending a little time sharing your way of living that purpose-driven life full of, you know, like I said, gratitude.
Well, thank you, Debbie. Thank you for having me and for what you're doing. I think it's really important. It takes, you know, a lot of people to do this work and to connect and to collaborate. And I love what you're doing both at Pennzone and with your yoga studio and with your podcast. You know, I just get really energized to see people like you doing what you're doing in this community. And I know because I've talked to others that you're doing it in a number of ways. And some of them are quiet and behind the scenes too. And this community needs more people like you and Chuck that are kind and loving and caring and compassionate and passionate about what you're doing. So, you know, thank you to you. And I can't wait to turn the microphone around and ask you questions when you come on the Gravity podcast. We're gonna do that too, and that'll be fun.
Uh-oh. I'm sure you're gonna crack me open and find some of those stories. But I'm an open book. And you know, when you start to live that way, there's no fear, no anxiety ever, because you know, you're just living your life. And like you said, there's no wrong, there's no right. There's all those situations that happened. And for me, just moving forward and trying to give back and hopefully inspire others with some of those stories, like you said. Yeah. All of, not just the good stuff, but I know in some of my darkest days, that's when I've learned the most about me and those that I love. So... again, yeah. I'm so honored to have you. Thank you for spending time with me today. And I'm just proud to share with our listeners your story and the entire Gravity community, and really look forward to the future because you are ready to bring it on.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks again. It's really my pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to From the Outside In. Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. For more information, you can follow me on Instagram at Debbie Penzone. I'm Debbie Penzone. You are exactly who you need to be.